Velkommen til KT-podden. Vi i Kirken Kristen Tjeneste har gudstjeneste hver søndag fra klokka 11. Du finner oss også på sosiale medier og på kristentjeneste.no.
Good morning, Stavanger. It's a nice weather. The sun is out, yeah? But it's very cold, actually. Coming from Singapore, we don't have four seasons. We only have one season. It's summer all year round. 35 degrees Celsius. It's hot and it's very, very wet, very humid. That's why we Singaporeans, we look young. You know, my son is already, my older son is 26. Do I have a family picture? Yeah? No? You know, but it's not on. Oh, that's my brother, and my sister. Now they are my three sons. You know, the Lord has really blessed me. We're a beautiful family. You know, we've been in one church for 32 years, and now we move on to a new season in another church. And now all my sons, I'm just getting a report from the pastors back home that they are reaching out to people to preach the gospel, got somebody saved, got them into the church. You know, what great news to wake up to on a Sunday morning before I come to church, that as for me and my family, we are serving the house of God. Amen. You know, and that is the plan of God. Amen. You know, then so I come from Singapore, and this is another picture, and the next picture. Can I use this? Okay, you like this? Yeah, that's Singapore. This is the city. We are 60 kilometer by 45 kilometer wide length. 60 kilometer, 45 kilometer width. Very small island. 6 million people. You know, very, very small island. But I think in terms of managing of funds, we have overtaken Switzerland. You know, I the blessing of God is just on the nation, and I believe that it is not only for the people to be blessed, but that we will be a blessing to other nations as well. Amen. You know, and I think that Singapore has been prophesied as the Antioch of the East. Likewise, when I came here yesterday, you know, I realized that Stavanger is the mission city. You know, since you were 1842, the Missionary Society was founded, and you sent many, many missionaries into Asia and beyond. You know, when I was young, I see all these Norwegian seamen mission, and I didn't understand what they are. I thought that maybe they're selling salmon. Growing up in Asia, oh, when we think about Norway, we only think about salmon, that's all. You know, but I begin to realize there's a rich history here. That that Norway has been part of preaching the gospel in the East, in Indonesia. I was telling the crowd yesterday that do you know that the Norwegian missionary translated the first Indonesian Bible? Probably some of you do not know. It takes a Singaporean to come and tell you that. You know, but the reason why I'm back in Europe is because I felt many years ago, I think in 2011, I felt like the Lord commissioned me to come back to Europe. I've been in Europe for about 15 years by now. And I felt like the Lord is telling me, you know, that because I've been a recipient. You see, because I got born again, I the gospel was preached to me in a Christian school, in a Methodist Christian school. It was a mission school. You know, and it was founded by British missionary. You know, of course, we had the Dutch, we had the Portuguese and all that. But they all came to Southeast Asia with the gospel. You know, as a result, you know, I was the first family member to be born again in my whole entire family. And today, I think 55% of my family, and I'm talking about a very large family, I have about more than 100 family members, you know, with my grandparents and all that. And I was the first family member to be born again as a Christian. And then 55% of them today are all born again as well. Come on, give Jesus all the glory. Amen. And it's because some missionary left, you know, from the West, you know, from whether is it from the United Kingdom or from Norway, because somebody obeyed and they left, you know, as a result, we heard the gospel. So I felt like very much, you know, that I want to be back here in Europe, you know, to harvest back what the seed that Europe has sown into Asia. Amen. You know, and today, I want to bring a message on the far happier life. The far happier life. How many of you like to be happy? Is this a happy place? All right? We all like to be happy, yeah? And nobody likes to wake up in the morning and feel miserable. We start to feel miserable when we start to open up our social media. Because we begin to see where our friends gone that we did not go. All right, we begin to see where other families has traveled to that we have not traveled to, or the restaurants they've been to that we have not eaten, right? Or the cars that they're driven that we don't have. You know, and so many times, actually we wake up in the morning pretty good until we open the social media and we start to compare. And comparison kill that happiness, right? You know, and so, but today, we because the reason why we feel unhappy after comparing is because we think that we will be happy when we get something. Oh, I will be happy if I would go to the Asia, the beautiful city of Singapore. I think I will be happy when I'm there. Oh, I will be happy when the sun shines. You know? So our concept of happiness in our natural self is getting things. When we get that new car, when we get that new ski cabin up in the mountain, right? When we get a new house, when we get to go to the restaurant to taste the food, then we will be happy. The world's definition of happiness is in the getting. But God's definition of happiness is in the giving. You know, in a Message Bible version in English, in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul says this, he says, in everything that I've done, I have demonstrated to you how necessary it is to work on behalf of the weak and not exploit them. That you are not likely to go wrong here if you keep remembering that our Master Jesus said that you are far happier giving than getting. You're far happier giving than getting. You know, in Harvard research, it says giving makes people happier. So the Bible said that 2,000 years ago, but science and universities are playing catch up. You see, you know, science, you know, God proved science. You know, the science don't have to try to prove God because God already exists. The principles of God has already been in existence. But Harvard research found that giving makes people happy. They did a research. They did an experiment. They get people who spend on themselves, and then they get people who spend on somebody else. And the result is that people who spend money on others are reported significantly higher happiness than those who spend on themselves. And this is irregardless of their income level, the country they come from, or the amount of money given. In fact, Harvard Business School says, spending money on others promotes happiness more than spending money on oneself. And there was a longer study on happiness in history, all right, where they show that, and this began in 1938. You know, they followed the participants for 80 plus years. I mean, that's older than me. I'm 23. And they discovered this, that happiness does not come from wealth. I've been to a very developed country, nations, but they are rich people. They are very miserable. They are very miserable, right? Not all, but they are famous people. Fame. Happiness does not come from fame. Happiness does not come from achievement. In fact, they say the strongest predictor of a flourishing life is meaningful relationships and contribution to others. So when we give to others, relationship deepens. But this is what Jesus has already said. You see, in order to build meaningful relationship, you know, we want to enter into relationship to give, not to get. That's when people get disappointed after they get married. Sometimes people say, oh, my marriage does not make me happy. And I tell them, I say, you know, maybe your marriage is not to make you happy, it's to make you holy. Maybe your spouse's weakness is for your sanctification. It's to make you a better person, right? But we're always looking for happiness, but we're looking for it in all the wrong places. But happiness comes from giving, not from getting. Amen. You find that your marriage gets better when your expectation is lower. Right? Or if you have no expectation, you go home every day and say, oh, surprise. My husband did this for me. He actually washed the toilet. You know, so the reason why we are not happy, because we're thinking of getting. But Jesus said the far happier life is in the giving. But then why do we find it so hard to give as Christians? It's, you know, because we are giving out of a scarcity mindset. Right? We're giving out of scarcity. And let me just right now just focus on giving in finances as an example. Right? Many times we find it hard to give because we have a scarcity mindset. A scarcity mindset is that we are giving out of what we think we don't have. Meaning, we think that, oh God, you want me to give to a you want me to give 5,000 euros to this mission or to this work, but then that's all I have in a bank account. So you think that if I give that, I wouldn't have that anymore. That is a scarcity mindset. Why do I say that? Because you're giving according to your limited resources. But an abundant mindset is one that we're giving out of not what we have, but what He has. And when we give, we're giving out of His unlimited resources. That means you're not giving according to your bank account. Right? But my bank account will be empty. If God asks you to give out of your bank account, and as a result, you empty your bank account, then God will fill up that bank account. Very quiet here. Is that true? Really? Well, I lived my life as a believer for the 30 over years, you know, actually 40 years of my life. I've never seen God unfaithful to those that trusted Him. Never. You know, I've not always been well provided for. I come from a very poor family. You know, I grew up eating every day, or all I could afford a day is porridge. Plain porridge. Do you know what's plain porridge? It's like rice boiled in water. And that's what I have every day. You know, sometimes I have vegetables. Sometimes I have meat. If I have meat, it's because there's a birthday celebration. You know, my family was very poor. You know, but then the Lord began to show me, you know, this principle of giving. And that began to break the poverty in my family. Amen. You know, and one of the reasons why giving, what it does, is why does God want us to give besides it's a far happier life? Because it breaks poverty mindset. Because when we start to give, we learn in Philippians 4:19 that this same God who takes care of me, we walk in the promise that this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we find it hard to give because we think we're giving out of our own resources. But when you don't give out of your own resources, you give out of His unlimited resources, that's where you find that it's easier to give. And even when we give, the attitude by which we give, we should give freely. You know, Jesus said this in Matthew, right? In Matthew chapter 8, chapter 10, verse 8, He says, freely you have received, freely give. What do I mean by you say when you give freely? And it means that you give with no strings attached. You know, if Christmas has just passed. But imagine last Christmas, you bought your friend's gift. You know, and after you buy your friend Christmas, oh, this is a Christmas gift, but you got to pay me back 1,000 kronos for it. That is not free. That means there is strings attached to it. There is expectation back. In that sense. But when God wants us to give, He wants us to give without strings. Amen. You know, and in fact, sometimes during Christmas, they like to do gift exchange, right? And sometimes I realize Christians, they recycle their gifts. What they received this year, they give it away next year. And that is very dangerous. Because once I gave a gift to my friend, the next year he gave it back to me. How did I know I wrote my name there? I'm like, oh, this guy, you know. So when I realized my friend giving back that, it's not a nice feeling because you know God wants us to give freely. Generosity cause us to give free, give without string, giving without strings attached. You see, because our giving is a measure of our gratitude. Our gratitude is a measure of our comprehension of His grace. That means if someone finding it hard to give, it's because you are not grateful for what the Lord has given you. Because if you have met a grateful person, the person wants to share. Like, I'm grateful for what the Lord has done in my life. But I know that it's because the Lord has sent some missionary from Europe. And because of that, I'm grateful, and that's why I'm back here. Amen? You know, in fact, the word for Hebrew gratitude is hakarav hatov, which literally translates into recognizing the good. Recognizing the good. As we begin to recognize the good in our life, the good that the Lord has done for us and towards us in our life, we can't help but give. And number three, each one of us, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, is each one must give as he has decided in his heart. Giving always comes from the heart. It starts with the heart. You know, he says, as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. When giving begins from the heart, cheerfulness follows. You know, none of us like to receive a gift that is reluctant. None of us. Like, if I get a gift and I'm here to give it to Yostein, I say, Yostein, this is your gift. Okay, it's for you. I know it's your birthday. I don't really want to buy you a gift, but it's for you. It's reluctant. You know, and that's not the way God wants us to give. But God wants us to give with a cheerfulness. Excited. Right? You know, when I'm overseas, you know, and when my boys were younger, now that they're older, they don't want me to buy them things anymore because they don't like the things that I buy. But when they're younger, they want me to buy gifts. You know, when Papa comes back from overseas, it's, oh, they got gifts for me. They're very excited. And every time when I buy the gifts, you know, I don't buy it because it's my duty as a father. But when I buy it, I'm imagining the faces, how excited they will be, how happy they will be, the little footsteps they were running towards the door. And when I buy that, I'm smiling and beaming to myself until the saleswoman probably thought I'm crazy. You know, because you're giving out of cheerfulness. Amen. You see, in Christianity, religion meaning, you know, people who are religious type of, religion itself will makes you give out of fear. But when you have a relationship with God, relationship will makes you give out of love. Religion will make you give out of performance, but relationship will make you give out of acceptance, knowing that you are accepted. Religion will make you give out of compulsion, but relationship will make you give out of cheerfulness. You see, because giving is relational. It's not transactional. It is relational. You know, when God loves, the Bible says, when God so loved the world, what did he do? He gave his only begotten son. You see, you can give something without loving. But you can't love without giving. And can I say this, that part of godliness in our life, part of godliness is a giving lifestyle. Part of God, because God, if God himself gave and give and give, then if we were to be godly and to be like him, that means a giving lifestyle. It's the way that we believers ought to have, or what we call the generosity, right? Then the question back people ask me again, that then how do we become a great giver? How do we become a great giver? You become a great giver by first becoming a great receiver. You see, because we cannot give out of ourselves. We can only give out of what we have first received. You know, and I learned that in a character in the Bible. Very famous guy in the Bible. Everybody likes that guy. His name is David. You know, everybody says, oh, I want my son's name to be David. I want to be like David. He's a man after God's own heart. And David was fantastic. He made some mistakes in his life, but he was a man that's after all God's own heart. But David is a generous giver. You know, David was a grateful person. You know, when he was in his house in Jerusalem, he remembered that the ark of God is somewhere in the forest. And he wanted to bring it back, and he brought it back. And then when he brought it back, he said, Lord, I want to build a temple for you. But the Lord, you know, through the prophet told him, no, you're not going to build a temple for me, you know, but your son will build a temple. Right? And in fact, one fun fact was this. When David wanted to build God a temple, God says no, but then God says, but I will build you a house. What a generous God we have. Amen? So, but then what did David do? David prepared all the materials. Even though David is not going to build that temple is not going to be known as the Temple of David, but the Temple of Solomon. But he didn't care. He prepared all the materials, all the timbers, the silver, the gold, the stones, you know, in order to build the temple. David prepared a huge resource to build God's temple with no credit for it. But how could David be such a great giver? I found that secret in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14, when David says, but who am I? Who am I? And who are my people? That we should be able to give as generously as this. David says, everything comes from you. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. That's why David could be a great giver. So if you today in your heart and say, yeah, I want to be the great giver, learn to first be a great receiver, knowing that everything comes from Him. That even if God put in your heart some desire to give to some cause, to the church, you know that God will supply that resource for you to give even. Amen. And what does giving do? Giving in Deuteronomy does something as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 10, it says, give generously to them, and do so without a grudging heart. And then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything that you put your hand to. So while we give generously, we give without string, we give with cheerfulness, but when we give, the giving comes with a promise. You know, that there's some things we do not because we want something back from God, but however God has a promise attached to it when we obey Him. And so when you give, the Lord says that He will bless the work of your hands. Everything that you touch, right? All that you do, the Lord will bless it. That is a promise that God gave to us. You know, I was with a younger crowd in Berlin. So I told the young people, I said, you know what? If you don't like the face that you have, you can place your hand on the face because God will bless your face. You don't have to spend money going for cosmetic surgery. But I think this morning here, you have a bunch of good-looking people. You do not need to do that. Why is that so? Because in Bible language, giving is also sowing. Giving is also sowing. I want to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 to 10. It says, God is able to make all grace, I love this, all grace, not some grace, not a little bit of grace, but all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times. What a good God we have. You are still very quiet, not very excited, but I know I'm preaching to a cold crowd. The weather, right? But and in all things, at all times, that you may abound in every good work. God wants us to abound in every good work. And then Paul continued to write and say, as it is written, He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower. Look, if God is putting something in your heart for you to give, which is sowing, it is a seed. The Bible says God will supply the seed. He says, He who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You know, there's something that I learned from the Lord for many years, that when the Lord bless us, right, and I sometimes don't calculate. I do not know which seed I sow that bring a harvest. But I just know that whatever that I have, God bless me, right? Whether it's in financial resources or any other things that has been blessed or given to me in my life. But I learned to recognize two things. Number one, that when God bless something or God does something for you, you know, there is two buckets. One is seed. The other one is bread. Bread is for consumption. So as an example, if God bless you financially, there is a bucket that is for your consumption, and that is called bread. But seed is not to be consumed. I like to make fun of my wife, because my wife is she loves healthy food. She loves to eat seeds. Chia seed, I don't know what seed. And she offers them to me. I said, no, these are bird food. It's not for me. I'm like, I believe in killing the fatted calf. You know, but so I don't like to eat seed, because I say you eat bread, but you don't eat seed. But then what are seed for? Seed is for multiplication. So eat your bread, but don't eat your seed. When the Lord bless us, you know, ask God for wisdom to know how much of that is for bread and how much of that is for seed. Amen. You know, and sometimes people say, oh, my church, pastors come to me and tell me, oh, my church has a, you know, but people are not very giving. You know, they don't have a giving heart. I say, no, they do not know how to budget. They do not know how to see that there are two buckets that God has given to us in our life. You know, but don't, and teaching them not to eat your seed. Why? Because if you eat your seed, then you eat away your multiplication. God gave you bread for your consumption, but God gave you seed for multiplication. Amen. You know, it's like one of my favorite fruit, I don't think you grow it here. It's mango. You know mango? You have mango here? You eat mango? But do you grow mangoes here? No, right? Because it's a tropical fruit, right? Mango is a very good fruit. It's a very anointed fruit. It's a godly fruit. You know why? Because it's an evangelistic fruit. Mango. Stavanger should be producing mangoes, huh? Because you are a mission city, a mission capital. Do we have a picture? Look at it. It's very nice, juicy, fragrant. My favorite mangroves come from India. Beautiful. Really, if you have a chance, get some Indian mango. I can't remember the name of the mango, but it's if you put it in a freezer, oh, mamma mia. It's really, really, really delicious. You know, if you look at the mango. When you have a mango, we eat the flesh, right? The flesh of the mango. How many of you eat the seed? Did nobody eat the seed? Nobody eat the seed. Why? Because instinctively we know, right, that the flesh is for consumption, but the seed is for sowing, and that is for multiplication. So in one mango, there is one seed, right? But if you sow that seed into the ground, what comes out from the ground? A mango tree, right? When a mango tree springs up, when it's harvest time, the tree will produce how many mangoes? One? No, many mangoes. You know, that is the reason why the Bible says that the seed is for multiplication. So when we give, you know, God is so good. You know, God wants us to have a far happier life. But yet when we give, we think that we're going to give away. No, you're not giving away. You are sowing for your harvest that is coming. Amen. And it says in Galatians chapter 6, he said, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. In due season we will reap. There is a due season in our life. You know, sometimes that's why we surrender to the timing of God. We can't tell God, God, I gave this amount this month, next month you got to give me the harvest. No, it's in God's due season. But it's us trusting Him. Amen. You know, sowing or giving is not how much money you have, even. It is how much faith that is attached to the seed that you sow. Amen. You know, and so sometimes when times get tough, we find it very hard to give. Right? Any honest person here? Oh, no. Okay, because you don't have tough times in Norway. You always have good times. Right? But there are times that we find it hard to sow. But I learned that when I ask the Lord, say, Lord, especially when there's like a famine, you know, like a famine in my life. Lord, what do I still sow? And then Lord began to teach me that especially when there is a famine, that's the time to sow. I said, wow, that is different from natural thinking. When times are hard, we keep, we hoard, we save. Right? You know, that's natural. But in God's kingdom, when times are hard, God is saying, no, that's the time to sow. And that really boggles my mind. You know, but the Lord taught me that over the years. And in the year 2007, 2008, it was a very tough year. All right? If you are alive at the time, you were already born. You know what happened in 2007, 2008. There's a great financial crisis, right? The whole world was all in liquidation. Lehman Brothers and everything was in a mess, you know. And it was a very, very tough time. And at that time, I was the general manager to run my church. Not a good time. Not a good time. You know, I had my own marketplace business, but I was doing that as well. As a volunteer and all that, I was helping with the church to grow the church. I was a general manager, and our church embarked on a building project, which cost, when we started the project, it cost about 280 million Singapore dollars. I don't know how much is that in Norwegian kronos. Whatever the amount is, right? 280 million. But not because we want to build an expensive building, but because buildings in Singapore are very expensive. You know, and our church was growing. It was big. You know, we had, by the time we had about maybe 20,000 to 25,000 people. We need a big auditorium to seat 5,000 people. We embarked on the project, you know, and as a result, you know, we started in faith. We saved some things, and we thought we were going to do it. And then when the financial crisis hit, you know, the building project went from 280 million Singapore dollars to 500 million Singapore dollars to build. Oi, yeah. And I was a general manager. So I politely asked God, you know all things. Right? Lord God, you know all things. You know that the financial crisis is coming. Why did you ask the church to build a building during a financial crisis, during a financial downturn? And actually, that wasn't my question. My real question is, why you make me the GM? Now I got to solve this problem. You know, and I didn't understand. And the Lord began to show me, taught me. He said, son, it's because I knew a financial crisis is coming. Say, Lord, help me here. I don't understand. Hello? And then I was like, it's because I know the financial crisis is coming, so I created a church building project. I said, uh-huh. He said, so that the people in the church can sow into a good ground, that in the year of famine, they will experience the 30, the 60, and the 100-fold. I'm like, wow. Really? But that's what the Lord told me. So I begin to realize the way we think is very different from the way God thinks. We think that when it's in a financial famine, we keep everything. But God says it's not saving time, it's sowing time. There's a time to save when it's prosperous. In the 7 years of prosperity that Joseph talked about in the land of Egypt during Pharaoh's time, in the 7 years of prosperity, he asked Pharaoh to save up 20%. But in the 7 years of famine, he opened up the granary and he gave seed to the people to sow. So in times of famine, the Lord was teaching me that it's time to sow. And I saw for myself that the church, the members began to sow, and I believe it was in that 1 year, Singapore came out of the financial crisis. And many of the church members, they they prospered through the famine. And it was not by natural means. And the Lord blessed the church so much that by the time we moved into the building, right, the building was paid for. I know, because I was a general manager, I had all the cash in the bank. It's a huge miracle. So that sowing did not just bless the church, but it also blessed the people. Maybe some of you say, oh, it's because you must have a lot of rich people in Asia. Rich, crazy rich Asian, right? There's a movie on that. No. Everyone gave. The little boy gave. You know, the homemaker gave, right? The executive gave. The CEO gave. Everyone gave. It's a huge miracle. But it was not just a miracle for the church, but it was a miracle for everyone as well. Amen. No one was in lack. Let me show you the picture of the building. Do we have it up here? Ooh la la. Come on, give glory to Jesus. Amen. You know, and let me tell you, I've been part of this church for 32 years of my life. We have never stand up there and have a very, very guilt-tripping fundraising campaign. You know, we don't do that, but we just simply say give out of the heart that God has put on your heart. Amen. Isn't it amazing? So God did something great for the one that's receiving the sowing, but God also blessed the one that sowed. Amen. Amen. That's a far happier life. So sowing activates God's motion of prosperity in our lives. Amen. You know, and even in my own life, I remembered when I was in debt, you know, the Lord says, don't stop giving. Don't stop sowing. Yeah, I had an $850,000 Singapore debt myself, you know, as a result of some business, you know, and I thought that I'm going to spend 15 years paying off the debt. But I told myself, now I learned this, I'm not going to live by natural principles. Yes, there's natural principles, but I'm going to live at a higher life. I'm going to live by the supernatural principles. So even though I had a debt, I was in lack, but I learned to sow. And in less than 2 years, 18 months, God supernaturally cleared my debt. Amen. It blessed the people that received, but it blessed me even more. Amen. You know, so this is not some gimmick that's trying to get you to give. I'm sharing something that's from my own life. From my own life, I've seen how God increased. I've seen the principles of God, you know. And I want the same thing to happen to you, to this church, to this community, to this city. Amen. You know, we want more, not because we want to become a bless me club. We want more so that we can become a blessing to others. The poor cannot help the poor. Amen. Only those with overflowing abundance that we are able to help others. Amen. Amen. Shall we all stand in this place? Thank you, Lord. Acts 20:35. In everything that I've done, I've demonstrated to you how necessary it is to work on behalf of the weak, not to exploit them. And you'll not likely go wrong here if you keep remembering what our master said. You are far happier giving than getting. Amen. Let's just close our eyes right now. Father, we in heaven, we thank you. We thank you that you hear us. We thank you, Lord, that you know our hearts. Lord, you know that this word is a seed to be sown in the hearers today. And I pray, Father, that, Lord, even as you move hearts, that, Lord, that you move their hearts to give, oh Father. Not because someone needs it, but because it is a seed that will bring a harvest back to themselves. Because it is like you, Lord. That, Lord, it is not a performance, it is not a demand, but I pray, Father, that, Lord, you make this church, oh Lord, a church of generosity, O Lord. a church of generosity, oh Lord, that will help many more people in Pakistan, many more people in the Middle East, many more people in Asia. And Father, that's because, oh, they have, not because they are rich by themselves, but because they have learned to sow and to trust you to bring the harvest back to them. And I pray, Father, that Lord, that you will just bless everyone here, that when they sow to the ground, bring a supernatural 30, 60, and 100-fold return to them. Let it be supernatural cancellation of debt, Father. Provide them with financial freedom, O Lord. No, not for their own pleasure, but for your purpose, O Lord. To glorify the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ will be preached throughout this land and beyond this land to the ends of the earth. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you very much.